Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 7:45 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is December 19th, and of course, being Friday, it's the big picture, long-term audio for the various different asset classes. But let's first have a quick review of what's been happening this week. This has been a week in which we continue to see oil breaking downwards. It found support around the $40 level. Very briefly, late last week and early this week, but broke downwards again yesterday and quite weak again here today. So, what this is an indication of is that we have a consistent downtrend. It is probably quite a crowded trend, and we are getting extrapolations of this trend increasingly further down, and people starting to extrapolate really quite low prices, which is quite similar to the way they were extrapolating upwards when it was in such a very big uptrend. So, getting a bit dangerous down here, but we really do need to see a downward dynamic to check the momentum of this really quite consistent trend beyond a very brief pause. And the oil price, as I look at the screen right now, is at 33.87, so quite low and weak again in here today. This has also been a week in which we continue to see the dollar falling aggressively earlier in the week, but yesterday found support and quite firm in here today. So, what we saw at the beginning of last week was a completion of a type 2 top, medium-term top in the dollar, massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and now it had become really quite overextended, and now we're seeing a bit of a retracement of that very large move on the downside. It remains unlikely that the dollar will move right back up towards that 88 level on the dollar index, but there is plenty of potential for it to rally up and range sideways in a potential right-hand extension type of activity that we see a lot of following a type 2 top and indeed a type 2 bottom. I mentioned the type 2 bottoms because there is the potential for that same type of activity to occur in a whole range of other markets, particularly some of these commodities. And if that is the case, then we could anticipate that if we are seeing type 2 bottoming activity, and it remains tentative until, of course, we see that big upward dynamic, which would be classified as a bolt from the blue, or indeed for people who are not English isn't their first language, that really surprising, very emphatic upward move that would really shake people out of their complacency and start closing some of those short positions through hitting stops. But because so many people would have failed to get out in that type of move, other than the ones that have had very tight stops, then you also get, because it happens so very quickly, it takes time for sentiment to change, and you have people fighting the trend, and you then can quite often get a reversionary move and then right-hand extension, where you can see markets moving into base formations in a type 2 bottoming scenario. So, very interesting activity that we have going on in here right now. This has also been a week in which we saw government bond prices continuing to accelerate on the upside. You have the 30-year Treasury yielding record lows, same with the 10-year. The price is around 140, more than 140 and a half for the 30-year, up around 127 for the 10-year. So, remarkably high prices, and this is a clear accelerating trend. Now, the Treasury have come out and said that they are buying treasury bonds in here. Sorry, the Fed come out and said that they're buying treasury bonds in here right now. And of course, you do have all of these adjustable rate mortgages that are resetting next year. And of course, those rates are set to the yield on the long bond. So there is something of a rescue going on in here for the people that have bought all of those mortgages over the last 5 and 6 years. So, a very, very interesting market activity that we have right now. But taking a step back and looking at what we have here, you have government bond prices soaring on the upside. And let's not have any illusions here. There's no shortage of government paper, and governments are printing at a rate of knots, and national debts are expanding at really quite extraordinary speeds, quite outside the amount of money that central banks are putting into the system. And really, if governments want our money that badly, are we that happy to lend to them with abandon? Because that's what's happening right now. And the yield on a 30-year investment being less than 3% is quite extraordinarily low and unsustainable beyond the short term. Now, there is certainly an amount of panic out there. The yield on the 3-month paper is at zero. So people are willing to even pay a little bit to have security in their investments or have security in their cash. But that is really unsustainable beyond the short term. And what we are now seeing is that the markets that are performing best are some of the ones that have been hit the hardest. Hong Kong is at 2-month highs. And we also see that a whole range of commodity indices are at 2-month highs. The commodity complex, which was the last to top out, has been hit one of the hardest, I suppose second only to the banking sector, but is now beginning to start to show relative strength. The fact that the dollar has come down so much has certainly been a boost to that sector, and it may come under pressure in the very short term as the dollar rallies and moves into potentially this ranging phase. But there is tentative signs that we are starting to get base formation development right across the commodity sector. And that is a very positive thing for a number of Fuller Money's favorite themes. The fact that we're going through a credit crisis isn't going to stop people growing up in the population centers of the world, and the infrastructure that's needed to cater for these burgeoning populations and the growing workforce that it will be entering the markets in the next decade in these emerging economies is still very much needed. And that means that money is going to have to be spent to develop that infrastructure. And of course, because of the credit crisis, you're going to have a lot more spending on infrastructure projects in an attempt to get people back to work and the governments of the world stepping in to replace private enterprise in spending and keeping economies and liquidity moving. Velocity of money is something that we really need to keep an eye on because it has slowed down considerably throughout the recession that we're in right now. And as long as that is the case, then there is a need for central banks to pump as much cash into the system as they can. But it will be politically expedient to leave that cash in the system for far longer than is strictly advisable. That was certainly the case back in 2002, 2003. And if central banks don't take that cash out of the system quite quickly when the velocity of money starts to pick back up, then we are going to have quite strong inflationary pressures. But inflation is not a problem in here right now. We have had a massive contraction of commodity prices, and the obstacles to growth that were out there in the system are slowly being removed. Certainly, liquidity is still a very big factor, and the recessionary problems that we have, particularly in the USA, which has been the epicenter of global risk for a number of years now, remain very much in place, and it is not going, there's no quick fix to the problems that you have in the USA. There will certainly be opportunities from an investment point of view in the USA, but they will be isolated, and there will be a certain amount of stock picking needed in that type of environment. However, when we start to move out of this recession, and of course stock markets are a discounting mechanism, we would expect stock markets to bottom well in advance of a recession ending, then because lots of the rest of the world don't have the same problems that you have in the US and to a lesser degree in parts of Europe, although the housing problems that you have in the UK and in Ireland and a number of other European countries are a major obstacle to growth in those countries. You don't have those problems in Asia. You don't have them in South America. And if we do start to see this recession, well, it's not a question of if, it's really when we see this recession easing and stock markets beginning to perform once more, it's going to be in those areas, in other words, commodity producers and commodity consumers, or growing commodity consumers, population centers of the world where infrastructure is badly needed and where we will continue to see these countries being the leaders in terms of global GDP growth, not just over the next couple of years, but over the next few decades. That's where we will see, or likely to see, there's no absolutes in this prediction, but the greatest likelihood is that we're going to see those areas providing the best performance in terms of stock market growth over the coming decades. Of course, you also have the fact that markets in Asia and in Latin America are high beta. So when you have the Wall Street leash effect, when you have Wall Street falling, they're going to fall more. But when Wall Street is steady to rising, they're going to outperform quite considerably, and you will get significant bang for your buck in that regard. Now, right now, in the currency markets, you've had the dollar and the yen being the two strongest currencies in the world with the two of the lowest interest rates. And interest rate differentials are the one hard fundamental in the currency markets. So it's a bit disingenuous that they're the strongest currencies in the world. But of course, this is also an indication of just how much deleveraging we've had and the extent to which people are willing are looking for any kind of security in their cash deposits. When these currencies start to weaken, and the dollar it's already beginning, and when the yen begins to weaken, and it is looking increasingly likely against a whole range of currencies, that will also be an indication to us that some of this money is being put back into relatively risky assets. What we have at the moment is tentative base formation development, and it is only tentative. But we need to be aware of the fact that markets have fallen very, very considerably, and that we have had a massive downward acceleration in October. Now, it's very hard to continue to keep panicking about certain events, and while people will look at the present ranges and say that they're no larger than ones that we've seen previously, well, those other ranges were before this massive acceleration. And yes, there is potential, and we could sit here ad nauseam and discuss the arguments for why markets should continue to go lower. But from a technical and chart fact perspective, we would need to see markets starting to take out those October lows on a sustained basis. There have been a number of markets broke below those October lows but have rallied back up since. So in some cases it's early December lows. But they would need to take out those lows on a sustained basis to give any kind of real credence to those extreme forecasts, where we see forecasts for the Dow down around 3,000 or 4,000, or the S&P down in 300 or 400. And those are remarkably extreme forecasts, and you really are pricing in depression. And depression isn't a word that has been bandied around very loosely over the last couple of months, particularly considering the fact that markets have been going sideways. And when you have an acceleration in the adjectives that are being used to describe how bad something is, but the chart action isn't confirming those adjectives, we've got to start to reassess. So there is tentative evidence that base formation is underway, and while it does still remain for the bulls to prove, there is a war now going on between supply and demand. And it is looking increasingly like the one-way bet on shorting has ended, and we're getting much more two-way activity. With this type of activity, volatility will remain high, and while there is certainly an argument can be made for buying positions for the long term, incrementally, on weakness, more patient or more conservative investors will wait for base formations to be quite evident and incontrovertible and then wait for the upward break. And that is also a very valid way to play this market. There are going to be plenty of buying opportunities in base formation development type scenarios, so there's no panic about having to get in right now. But if someone is concerned with trying to buy as low as possible, then a cost averaging basis is probably the most advisable route to take. But looking at the way these bonds have accelerated on the upside, it's very much the same case as the way the dollar accelerated on the upside. It was people looking for any store of value, and it's unsustainable beyond the short term. This has been a massive acceleration on the downside, and considering that when you look at that long-term chart of yields, it had lost so much momentum over the last decade, and this is a massive acceleration on the downside, there is significant room for these government bond prices to fall back considerably and for yields to rise. Right now, yields are offering no impediment to a stock market rally, and I would wager that it will be rising government bond yields will kill off the next rally for stock markets whenever it occurs, because lower government bond prices are very likely to coincide with with any rally that occurs in stock markets. Looking very much longer term, the commodity markets are starting to show relative strength, but they have fallen really very considerably, particularly the industrial metals and the agriculturals. Gold has been a relative performer, but silver and platinum have also fallen very considerably. They're all probably in need of some form of base formation development, although gold, in its unique role as hard cash of varying value, is probably likely to hold its value that bit better, particularly in view of the fact that we have so much demand for physical gold and people falling over each other in competition to buy gold coins and get some form of gold into their portfolio again as a store of value. It also means, though, that gold could come under relative pressure, perhaps not absolute pressure, but relative pressure, when we see markets starting to rally in a concerted way. There is potential that when government bond prices start to come off and some of that cash gets put back into other markets, we could get a rally across a whole range of other asset classes. It's purely because some of that money will just start to filter back into risky assets, and just about anything that had been a popular trade throughout the last 4 or 5 years has been hit remarkably hard. The infrastructure development and The infrastructure development that is anticipated, that is in line, and that is already under construction will likely fuel commodity demand for a number of decades. The liquidity crisis that we've had is going to choke off the development of new resources, which means that the next time we have a or the next time we're not facing recession and we potentially have synchronized global economic expansion, then we will start to run into the same type of supply inelasticity that we had the last time around. So there is a certain element of Back to the Future taking us back to 2001, 2002, 2003 in the markets right now. This is probably not the type of environment where one wants to be a hero. And really, it's the kind of environment where waiting and see and being very tentative about potential investments is going to pay off over the long term. But there is the temptation to do in the next cycle what we wish we'd done in the last cycle. And what lots of people wish they'd done throughout this whole downtrend was to sell rallies and get short. And whenever a new uptrend begins, that will be the temptation. They will sell too early, having gotten in early, they'll sell too early and then be chasing the markets. So there, we will have to be aware of that temptation, and it will be rising lows which will guide us that demand is returning at incrementally higher levels. Rather than selling rallies, people will want to start buying dips. And that will really be our indication that new uptrends are in place. And with that, I will leave you for the weekend, but thank you very much for your time.